The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. So this morning we're going to take a look at our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, Paul's speech to the Athenians at the Areopagus, because it's one of the most important readings in the entire New Testament, and understand it, it takes a little bit of context. So first of all, the Areopagus, what is that? Well, the Areopagus is a hill in Athens. That's where the Parthenon sits, you know, one of the great tourist destinations of the whole world, certainly in all of Greece. But in Paul's time, the Areopagus was a spiritual center, and there were temples to all the Greek gods on the Areopagus. There was a temple to Zeus, and a temple to Hermes, and a temple to Athena. And there was a temple on the Areopagus that was known as the Temple to an Unknown God. And that's where Paul makes his speech here in the Acts of the Apostles. A little bit of history on that. Long about the 600s BC, there was a terrible plague in Athens, and it killed a large percentage of the people, and nobody knew what to do when suddenly a philosopher named Epimenides arrived in Athens from Crete, gave the people advice. They took his advice, and on his advice, the plague lifted. And then just as mysteriously as he arrived, Epimenides departed. Well, the people of Athens always believed that it was whatever god Epimenides worshipped that was responsible for the lifting of the great plague. So they constructed there, amongst all their gods, the temple to an unknown god. Now, Paul knew about Epimenides. Paul actually references Epimenides in his letters two times, and he uses this as a bridge to Christ for the people of Athens, because the people of Athens knew that something was missing from their lives. They didn't know quite what, but they knew something was missing. Just like the people of the world today know, something's missing from their lives. They don't know quite what. I never forgot that line from that old Simon and Garfunkel song. It says, I'm empty and I'm aching and I don't know why. Well, here's the thing. You and I know what's missing. You know what's missing is putting Christ on the throne of your heart. We've experienced this for ourselves, or we wouldn't even be here. And the more he's on the throne of our heart, the less is missing from our lives. And anyone who's experienced that wants to share it with those that they love more than they want to share the greatest treasure. But it's so hard to do. I mean, there's a reason why the image of the Bible-thumping street corner preacher is so unpopular. It's like everybody wants to hear everything except the gospel. Well, it's hard to do. It was hard for St. Paul to proclaim the gospel in his own time. One of my favorite images of this comes from C.S. Lewis. He says it was easier for St. Paul than it was for us. In the time of St. Paul, preaching the gospel to the world was like trying to win the heart of a lady. In our own time, preaching the gospel to the world is like trying to win back someone after you've already divorced them. It's a lot harder, but still, Paul's strategy here in the first reading is our strategy too. This is the very best approach to proclaiming the gospel, is what St. Paul says. It's in three steps. Step number one, start by affirming what's good. Don't start by condemning what's wrong. Paul says to the people of Athens, he looks around and sees all the temples, and he says, I see that in many aspects you all are very religious. That's how he starts. He doesn't start by saying, all these temples to these false gods are actually temples to demons. Tear them all down. We always want to start with what's true and good, because that's what every heart seeks. Everyone in the world is seeking justice and fairness and compassion and all these vague ideas. And they find them. People find them, but they find them mixed with lots and lots of error. What they really want is Christ. To help them find the way, start by affirming that what they're looking for is good. Second thing St. Paul does here in the Areopagus is he meets people where they are. We need to do the same thing. Now, no matter what you're trying to convince someone of, you'll find that there's two kinds of people in the world. There's head people and there's heart people. It doesn't matter whether you're trying to convince someone to lose 20 pounds or stop spending so much time on the internet, or whether you're trying to sell someone a brand new widget, or whether you're trying to proclaim the gospel. There's two kinds of people, and you have to meet them where they are. There's head people. These are people where you're going to make your greatest progress by appealing to their reason, to what makes sense. Then there's heart people. You're going to make your greatest progress with these people by tugging at their emotions, saying such things as, what kind of a man do you want to be? What are you made of inside? Dig down deep. Well, St. Paul's speaking to the Athenians. They were the center, the seat of all logic and reason. And Paul does the right thing. In beginning by speaking to them in reason and logic, it's Paul's best approach, and it's our best approach as well. Step number two, know your audience. Now, step number three for St. Paul, and ours as well. Never forget this. Eventually, you have to bridge to Christ. And when you do, you're going to lose a lot of people. It happened with Paul. It happens with us as well. Because, you know, if all we had to offer people was our culture, everybody would embrace us with open arms. Imagine if all the church had to offer people was stained glass windows and vaulted ceilings. You know, imagine if all we had to offer people were, you know, medieval tapestries and monumental buildings made in dressed stone. Nobody would turn us away. Everybody would think it's just the greatest thing ever. And, you know, this is our approach to a lot of evangelization. It begins with something like this. You know, a lot of youth ministry. You know, it starts with a moon bounce and cotton candy. Not bad. It's just that if you don't make the next step, if you don't actually bridge people to Christ himself, you miss the whole point. And that means you proclaim God made man, you proclaim repentance, you proclaim a brand new way of living. And at this stage, yes, you're going to lose a lot of people. But that's okay, because you want to know something interesting? You don't actually always lose a lot of people. Paul walked away from Athens, tail between his legs, thought he was a big failure. Everybody in Athens laughed him out of town. He made precisely one convert. He went down to Corinth afterwards. But you want to know something? Paul didn't fail in Athens. Athens was converted to the faith, and in a big way. Center of faith in Eastern Christianity for centuries and centuries. It just took him a while to get there. Now, some people are like that. You plant a seed. It takes a while. Just like Jesus said to his apostles, I've got so much more to tell you. But you cannot bear it all now. So a little thought for us, you know, as you try to share the gospel with those you love, you can't do better than the strategy of Paul. Don't start by tearing down what's bad. Start by affirming what's good and try to meet them where they are. And don't forget, you probably will be rejected the moment you bridge to Christ. But you have to do that. Our job is to plant seeds. Our job is to measure our success in faithfulness and leave the rest in the hands of God. Amen.